Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. We are honored to be with you again today. It is a privilege to study God's Word with you. Thanks for joining us. We are Heralds of Hope, and this program is one way we fulfill Jesus' last command. Jesus told us in Matthew 28, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Through this program, we want to teach everyone about Jesus and the things that we've learned from him. We pray for Jesus' kingdom to be strengthened through these things we share, and we encourage you as you walk with him and follow him. Today, our study continues in John 20, and we will take a close look at the interaction between Jesus and Mary Magdalene. This story is found in verses 11 to 18. Mary Magdalene was the first one to see Jesus after his resurrection. What a privilege for her, and what an honor. Mary was also one of several women who had accompanied Jesus during his ministry. They helped him and the disciples with food and many other practical things. At the beginning of the chapter, we heard she was headed to the tomb while it was still dark. What was it that motivated Mary Magdalene? Why was she spending so much time with Jesus? Let's think about this question before we move into today's teaching. Remember that this was the lady who Jesus delivered from 7 demons. The Bible doesn't tell us much about her life before she met Jesus, but imagine how her life must have changed. She was freed from those 7 demons, and I'm sure that was a big improvement for her. Because Jesus changed her life so drastically, after that, she just wanted to be with him. This reminds me of the story in Luke 7. Jesus was eating at the house of Simon the Pharisee, and a woman came in and washed the feet of Jesus with her tears, dried them with her hair, and anointed them with ointment. In verse 47, Jesus said of this woman, "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." This reminds me of Mary Magdalene, because she loved Jesus for a similar reason. She was forgiven of much. The question is, have you been forgiven much or little? How you answer this question determines how you act toward Jesus. It should be obvious, no one is forgiven a little bit. Everyone who has been forgiven by Jesus has been forgiven a huge amount. The problem is our perspective. Some people think, I was never too bad, or I'm a good person. Jesus didn't have to do much to save me. These are the people who have been forgiven little. Their love for Jesus can't grow because he didn't do much for them. They don't really need him. Don't be like that. Be like Mary Magdalene. Understand your sin. Any sin is a big deal before God. There is no such thing as a little sin. God sent his son to die for us, and we can be forgiven. This is never a small thing. It's always major and should cause us to love Jesus with everything, just like Mary Magdalene was doing. We thank you again for joining us here on Hope for Today. Now, let's give our attention to Bible teacher J. Mark as he teaches us the rest of today's lesson.
You and I have some experiences in life that leave a deep wound of sorrow, a wound that is hard to heal. Some of our sorrows are soon changed to joy, but some come down on us like a crushing load. Most of us, if not all of us, have had disappointments that have turned into crushing sorrow, and all of us have laid the body of our loved ones in the grave. Mary Magdalene had such an experience when she found the empty tomb where Jesus had been buried. Jesus meant so much to her. As the events of the last several years came crowding through her thoughts, she felt she could not give him up. It was Jesus who had rescued her from evil spirits, and he had given her peace and joy. John's Gospel records for us how she was crushed with sorrow and how her sorrow was changed to joy. The record is found in John chapter 20 and verses 11 to 18. And so I want to read that for you. Listen now as I read John chapter 20 and verses 11 through 18. Here is God's word. But Mary stood outside the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And she saw two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And when she had said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?" And she supposed him to be the gardener, and so she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." And then Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. From Mary's crushing sorrow, you and I should find the revelations by which her sorrow was turned into joy. The first revelation was the vision. First part of the chapter informs us that she had come very early to the tomb, and she had found the stone rolled away from the opening of the tomb. And so she ran immediately to Peter and to John, the other disciple, to tell them that somebody had stolen the body of Jesus. So they came, and they looked into the tomb, and they concluded that Mary was correct. And so they went again to their own home. But Mary came back to the tomb. She was heartbroken. And so there she was, waiting by the tomb. I'm not sure what she hoped she could do, but she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw a vision of angels, and there were two of them. One was at the head, and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been laying. Angels are heavenly messengers, and they had a word for her. They asked her a question, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Her response was the same as it had been to the disciples. She answered, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." There was the vision of angels as the first revelation to turn Mary's crushing sorrow into joy. To be able to tell what caused her sorrow was the first revelation toward turning that sorrow into joy. The second revelation was the voice. After she had this conversation with the angels, she turned around and she saw someone standing there. But in her distress, she didn't know that it was Jesus. She supposed that this was the caretaker of the garden. Who else would have done something with the body of Jesus if not the caretaker of the garden? Or at least he might know where he had been taken. And so she said to him, when he asked her why she was weeping, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." That showed her loyalty, didn't it? She was very loyal to Jesus. She didn't want the grave robbers to do anything with his body. She would somehow take care of this. She supposed this stranger to be the gardener. Then she heard her name in that voice. We're told that there's no sweeter sound on earth than one's name. And I would like to add, no one can speak your name or my name quite like Jesus. It was that way with Mary. All Jesus said to her was her name. He said, "Mary," and she immediately recognized him. His voice told her who he was, and she immediately responded. It was his voice speaking her name that made it real to her. Oh, I see her crushing sorrow being turned to joy right there with the revelation of the voice. But there is yet one more revelation, and that is the verification. First was the vision, then the voice, and now the verification. It was his command, "Do not cling to me." My English Bible reads, "Do not touch me." But I studied this statement very carefully in the Greek New Testament, and I find out that the idea is, "Stop hanging on to me," or "Stop clinging to me." Jesus went on to say, "I have not yet ascended to my Father." What I believe Jesus was doing was trying to help Mary understand that now that he was risen from the dead, nobody would be able to take him away from her again. It wasn't necessary for her to cling to him, to hold on as though she weren't going to let go. And so he gave the command, "Stop hanging on to me." And then his commission to her was, "Go to my brethren and say this to them, 'I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.'" Go tell my brethren. The first message of the resurrected Christ was to go and to tell. And it came to Mary, Mary Magdalene. His commission to her was, "Go tell my brethren." And what did she do? She went quickly. She came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had said these things to her. She told the disciples everything. A third revelation verified his true presence. And so by these three revelations, Mary's crushing sorrow was turned to joy. By the vision of angels, by the voice of her master, and by the verification of Jesus' words. We cannot do what she did, but by believing, we too can have our sorrow relieved. We can have our sorrow turned to joy. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the risen Son of God?
Thank you, J. Mark, for this teaching from God's Word. And thank you for joining us. It is a privilege for us to study God's Word and learn from it. Now let's take what we've heard and put it into practice. The teaching and instruction in the Bible is for us, and it is meant to be lived. Don't be like the man in James 1 who sees himself in a mirror, then goes away and forgets what he looked like. Instead, be like the man in verse 25 who looks intently into the Word and is a doer of the work. God says, "That man will be blessed in what he does." If you have any questions or if you would like today's teaching, just contact us and ask for it by title or tell us the passage. We also have a study guide available designed to help you learn more from each lesson. It is called the Hope Herald. Please let us know if you're interested, and we would be happy to give you one. The quickest and easiest way you can reach us is through email. Our email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, you could send us a letter. Send it to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Another way you can contact us is through our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. Please look on our website for this teaching and other similar teaching. There you will also find other resources available from Heralds of Hope. Again, the website is heraldsofhope.org. Again, here's the contact information. Email is mail@heraldsofhope.org, or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. We thank you for joining us for today's program. I encourage you to join us again next week as Pastor J. Mark continues teaching from the Gospel of John. We look forward to being with you then, and we'll leave you with this blessing from Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.